Good morning, everybody. That was sad. We go through this every week. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Yeah. This morning we are breaking away from our study in the book of Galatians, and we are looking at some of the current events. And I tell you, I was just in my office with a few guys, and we probably would do better today just to tap right into the news that's going on as Vice President Cheney's announcing, and they just showed a tremendous video clip from Al-Qaeda that was somehow confiscated by U.S. intelligence, and describing the next wave of terrorist attacks against the United States, and tremendous stuff. And President Cheney just announced that an imminent attack against the United States by Al-Qaeda is a certainty. That's strong language. But for those of you who are in law enforcement here, and I know we have a lot of law enforcement that attend here, you've been briefed, you've been hearing about a lot of things as well. But this morning, breaking away from the book of Galatians, we go to some current event items that we would want to have the family here at Calvary alert and knowing about. And so if you're going to be taking notes this morning, I'm going to ask you to jot down John chapter 13, verse 19, if you would. A couple of verses, but we'll be in a lot of news articles today. John 13, 19, though, Jesus said, "Listen now, for I am telling you this before it happens, that when it does come to pass, you will believe that I am He, or I am the One." A reference to His Messiahship, His deity. Jesus says that I'm telling you these things in advance, that when they happen, you'll be able to know that I'm the One. Well, being who? What the One? Well, in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 8, God says to the prophet Isaiah, "Remember this, fix it in your mind, take it to heart. You who are stubborn, remember. The years gone by and those long ago, I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end of time from the beginning, from ancient days, what is still yet to come to pass. My purposes will stand and I will do what pleases me." I love when God talks like that. I don't know where you're at this morning, who you might be here today, but the fact of the matter is this Bible issues a challenge to everybody who would want to know, who would at least pose themselves to be enlightened or educated, that God is real. The Bible never bickers or debates about the fact, is God real? Does God exist? The truth of the matter is the Bible makes a blanket statement. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It implies that you're going to have the brain enough to go and search and study good science and find out that that in fact is true. That there's no scientific evidence to the evolutionary claim or the New Age claim or whatever the claim might be to undermine or diffuse or somehow take away the existence of God. The fact of the matter is, when someone argues against God, they're arguing against, really, a thought that makes them uncomfortable, that if God's real, then He must be somebody bigger than me, and I will have to give accountable purposes to Him. And that makes people uncomfortable. It's not an intellectual issue. It is more of a moral issue about believing in God. The evidence is overwhelming about His existence. For the Christian, one of the greatest things about the existence of God is coming to the knowledge of what is called prophecy. That is God telling the future in advance before it happens. In fact, by that very standard, God says, "Try all the false prophets of the world and what they say if it doesn't come to pass." In the Old Testament time, I tell you, if you're a false prophet in here today, you should be glad that you're alive now. Because in the Old Testament days, if you're a false prophet, God says after they utter what they say and it doesn't come to pass, just take them outside the city and stone them to death. Why? He takes the leading people astray very seriously. And if somebody shows up on the scene and says, "Thus saith the Lord, you're to do this or you're to do that," if it's not in the Bible, God says, take them outside the city. He takes it very seriously. False doctrine is a very terrible thing. Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 24 that just before the end of the world, there would be many, not a few, false prophets coming, announcing other religions, other ways, other paths to God. And He says, tragically, because He knows all things, He says, and they will deceive many. Isn't that something? Well, as we get into our study this morning, maybe it's not even a study. Maybe it's more of a briefing, I guess. If you're going to take notes, jot this down at the top. There's a real reason why I put this down here. It's kind of cool, actually. In light of last week's news, the title of the message this morning is Gut Chip. Not chocolate chip, not potato chip, but microchip. This morning as we wake up on this Sunday morning, there are people walking around Florida with embedded microchips in their right arm. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and what the Bible says about that. So in light of that, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Revelation chapter 13. Now, here's the deal. Allow me to be a little sarcastic this morning, okay? Can you allow me that? Let's turn to this old, old book. This book that Grandma said we ought to read. And we're going to turn to this old chapter of Revelation 13. And in Revelation 13, we'll look around verse 13. Revelation 13:13. He performs great signs so that even makes fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that image of the beast should both speak and to cause as many as who did not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. And the number is 666 or 666. You'd have to read the book of Daniel to understand more of Revelation. They work together as prophetic revelation, but God is telling us from this old book that there could possibly be a time, if you take the Bible literally, as you do here at Calvary, by the way, if you don't take it in a very literal sense, you've been embarrassed many times. I've been embarrassed because I don't take the Bible literal enough. When something comes to pass, it says exactly what it says here in the Scripture, and it comes to pass, and I say, oh my, I should have read that more carefully. Here we've got a book 2,000 years old, the book of Revelation. John says that there's going to come a time where there's going to be a political ruler that will arise out of Europe, the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel, Revelation, that from the ancient Roman Empire, in that realm, in that region, a man will arise, and he will arise with a seemingly insignificant presence, and out of 10 nations of key leaders. Now, there's probably going to be many more nations because there are more nations than 10 in the ancient Roman Empire. Just as there are now 15 nations in the revised Roman Empire of the European Union. 15. Yet the Bible tells us to keep your eye on 10 rulers that will come out of that gathering. Out of the 10 rulers, the Bible says, one will appear insignificant. A man who is, in a way, unnoticeable, who will somehow be catapulted to the forefront of the world's scene. And the Bible tells us, again, in the book of Daniel, that he, when he comes on the scene as the European ruler, he will cause the economy to prosper. Interesting, Europe right now is looking for some sort of success with their new euro dollar that has been implemented among the 15-nation union. And it says that through his prosperity in lifting up Europe, the Scripture tells us that by the prosperity of his success, he will deceive many. I tell you, we may know people who, when they come into wealth, get very stupid. They don't know how to handle wealth. They don't know how to handle success. It's a scourge to somebody who can't handle it. Well, the Bible says the Antichrist, we call him The Bible calls him the Antichrist, also the beast. That this man, he is going to be able to implement a very successful European economic boom. And from his success, he's going to be brought into the forefront of the world's eye. And not only that, the Bible tells us that he is going to grant to Israel a 7-year peace treaty, peace agreement between Israel and its enemy. And the Bible tells us that in a 7-year period of time contracted by this man, that 3.5 years into the deal, he himself will break the deal. Apparently, Israel doesn't break the deal. Apparently, the Palestinians don't break the deal. If it is, in fact, the Palestinians that will be the party involved, he breaks the deal. And if you've read your Bible in 2 Thessalonians, the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 24, verse 15, the Bible tells us how he breaks the deal. He will declare himself to be the revelation of the will of God before mankind, and the world will worship him as a god. It's all recorded in Scripture. Now, who would have ever thought that a culture, that a world, that a nation, that a globe would ever even begin to think of themselves that they could become gods? And yet, that's exactly the root of some religions and even the New Age movement, that you can become a god. Very interesting. Well, this morning I want you to take a very critical look at the Bible. And when I mean critical, I mean I want you to be thinking with your brain, not a nasty look at it, not a mean look at it. Use your head. God wants you to use your brain. And you be thinking. As we look at some things this morning is not a gathering that has been somehow choreographed in any way. But we do want to show you some things that might stimulate not only your thinking, but number one, to be comfort to the Christian, because this stuff ought to comfort us. And number two, if you're a non-Christian this morning, you ought to come to a better respect of the Bible before you leave here today. How God knows the future in advance, and He tells us so. If you'll jot down this first of all, we're going to give the most important news, I guess, up front first, and then we'll bring some news that we're not focusing on tonight near the end. And that is this, that we are currently living in a time that the Bible speaks clearly of. If we make light of this old book, we need to now this morning just be quiet about that and learn. This book tells us about the future more accurately than the U.S. News and World Report or Time Magazine tomorrow might put forth. This book boasts that it knows the future. If that's true, we ought to be able to connect things like we just read in the book of Revelation to what's happening in the world around us, don't you think? It's very important. Before we get into the significance of this morning and what's happened in our world in this last week and a half, I want to bring and tie in, maybe in an awkward way, so grant me some grace here, of what's going on right now in the news on your TV if you were at home. Global terrorism is being spoken of. This morning, perhaps, while you were getting ready, I've talked to friends in Jerusalem this morning in the light of what's happened today. Another homicidal bomber blew himself up in Netanya. Some of us have been to Netanya, that seaport village. When we flew into Tel Aviv, we spent the night in that beautiful town of Netanya. Well, a man walked in this morning, your time. This is the danger of it. Not only did he kill people, but he was dressed as an Israeli soldier. First time that's happened. Israel's mad, as you can imagine. And he blew himself and others up. The footage we were seeing this morning just before first service was absolutely grotesque. Uncensored news coming from the street, body, blood, parts, a man crawling for his life as he was obviously shredded by a man wrapped with nails and pieces of metal. Horrific scene. Not only that, President or Vice President Dick Cheney is announcing this morning that the United States is under a threat, it is viable, and it is certain that the U.S. will be attacked. Now, look, I don't know if you have fallen asleep since September 11th. I don't think you have. But we announced, and President Bush has been trying to announce, for people who are listening, that we're involved in an all-new war. That's his very kind way of saying that we're involved in a spiritual battle now. It is a radical global view, a radical Islamic view that is going to be attacking America, Western interest, and Israel because a jihad has been declared. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, then maybe I ought to read you something. Reuters News Service out of London. Quote, with an unprecedented determination, the FBI and CIA and other international intelligence agencies have recently intercepted information linking Yasser Arafat, Saddam Hussein, Syria, and Iran to the funding and organizing of terrorist camps and terrorist raids worldwide. In addition to the homicidal bombings against civilian targets and kidnappings of Americans, there seems to be a dedicated zeal to anarchy in the name of Allah. In just the past 19 months, there has been the highest incidence of Islamic terror attacks recorded worldwide than at any other time. Mossad, Israel's super secret intelligence agency, said that ever since Israeli Prime Minister Sharon visited the Temple Mount, that's important. May not be important to you, it's important to Muslims. When he visited the Temple Mount 19 months ago, the Muslim world has used it as a cause to introduce jihad to the world. Jane's Defense Weekly, you can go online to Jane's Defense Weekly and read about this. By the way, Fox News had this a week and a half ago. MSNBC had this a week and a half ago. You're going to find it hard, I understand from what I read here, to back this up. Listen carefully. There's been a rather radical thing, if it's true, take place in Iraq. And some of you may be aware of it. But listen to this. Before I read it, have you been hearing on the news how the United States is planning an attack against Iraq because of its buildup of weapons of mass destruction? It's in the news. And by the way, that attack, that war that were launched against Saddam Hussein is supposedly sometime scheduled prior to winter of this year. Now, you might say, oh, I wish we wouldn't do that. Tough. You want to know why I'm saying tough? Because Israeli intelligence and Benjamin Netanyahu has announced on public television that Israeli and CIA and British intelligence has confirmed that Saddam Hussein will go nuclear by the end of the year, with plans to use it against our interests within the Middle East and possibly the United States. Now, I don't know who you are, but if you want to just think, well, maybe if we just ignored it, it'll go away. That's how nations are captured, and that's how within a matter of time you'll be speaking Arabic. Saddam Hussein is nuts. If not, he's possessed. He says that he has been spoken to by Allah, telling him that he's the direct descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was given the task to destroy the nation Israel. Saddam Hussein says that he's been given that same task in these last days. Saddam Hussein believes that so much, he says that Allah told him to rebuild Babylon. He's been doing that for over 10 years. He said that Allah also told him that he was going to carry out the fulfillment of what the Quran speaks about, of the eradication of Jews and Christians. He printed up coins with Nebuchadnezzar's face on one side and his face on the other side. He's crazy. Well, maybe you've underestimated how crazy he is. But listen to this. Jane's Defense. And I read it too fast for a service. People got upset with me. I'm going to read it slower. In what is being considered a brilliant military maneuver on the part of the Bush administration was an alleged email that was supposedly leaked to Saddam Hussein from a sympathetic source deep within the Pentagon. Warning the Iraqi despot that President Bush had authorized an all-out, American-only, full-scale attack against Iraq and Iraqi interests. The undisclosed and vehemently denied email was more successful than a host of cruise missiles. The email reported and outlined the exact day and the exact time of the massive air attack, which even hinted of satellite warfare and a possible limited nuclear attack from above. By the way, if you know anything about U.S. policy, we often tell people that we're coming. It's one of our ways. It's almost like an intimidation thing. But America always announces when we're going to attack somebody, unless it's a covert operation. If it's a war or something very closely related to war, we always tell them, we're going to be attacking you tomorrow at noon. Did you know that? No, we do that. It plays on the mind of your enemy, by the way, terribly. So This is very much, in fact, Saddam Hussein knew exactly when the first bush was going to attack, back in the days of Desert Storm. The, quote, leak, close quote, was sent via email to Saddam's office as well as 35 generals of Saddam's Iraqi Republican Guard. Some of you now remember this event. Within 2 weeks of the supposed email being sent, the CIA monitored secret communiques between the generals speaking of a possible coup to overthrow Hussein or a mass defection of the generals to nearby Turkey and Jordan. According to the Turkish news agency, the generals decided on the less risky defection. According to several intelligence sources, including Israelis, the defection effort was foiled when all 35 generals were shot to death by Saddam Hussein when learned of the clandestine plan. Brilliant if true, said a Middle East expert. Without risking one U.S. soldier or a coalition effort, Bush removed 35 generals without a shot and left Saddam Hussein leaderless for what the Bush administration is currently deciding, an authorized, all-out, American-only, full-scale attack against Iraq. If that's true, that's brilliant. That they would release the information, making it look like it was a secret being spilled out of the Pentagon, just so happens, lands into the hand of the key generals and Saddam himself. When the talk of the communiques, if the CIA was able to pick up the communiques between the generals planning their defection to Jordan and Turkey, did we give Saddam Hussein that news? Whatever the point was, it was to eliminate or to befuddle the Iraqi weaponry before we ever get in there. Again, with this expert of the Middle East. Brilliant if true. What's going on? We know that senior military leaders and those in areas of military involvement and intelligence have all had their orders suspended and their retirement suspended. They can't quit right now. They have to stay in office. They have to stay in the U.S. Armed Services at this time. Something's coming up. I say that in light of what we're seeing again this morning on the news and all, and what we're hearing from the Vice President this morning. Finally, this before we get into our main point for gathering this morning. Domestic threats are on the rise, people, in America. It's a big deal. And again, quoting, as I've heard this morning, Vice President Dick Cheney saying that an imminent attack on the United States is a certainty. Tom Ridge, director of the Homeland Security. I hate that name, Homeland Security. Bugs me. Sounds weird. Sounds kind of tribulation-like. Homeland Security. Sounds like you should have, like, you know, pumpkin pie and biscuits with that thing. Homeland Security. Sounds so... I mean, I know they got it. It's a good idea, but you know, those of you who know your Bible, you know exactly where it's going. You know exactly where this is going. Tom Ridge said April 22nd, quote, "The efforts of various law enforcement agencies nationwide have been extremely successful at diffusing and even preempting planned terrorist attacks on American soil." It makes you kind of nervous to hear such things, huh? "The greatest threat to America itself is the temptation to doze off during this time of security successes. When something doesn't happen, it almost puts a sense of false security in the minds of people. The very reason why something didn't happen was because someone was awake and alert to catch the evildoers. America must remain vigilant if America is going to remain safe," said Reg. When was the last time you were concerned? This is what I personally believe, and it's no big deal. And I don't think I'm going to be giving any ideas to any Al-Qaeda. But one of their goals is to destroy the economy of America because the economy of America is funds the machine of protection and war, and they hate your standard of living. They can't stand that you own a Suburban. They hate it. Or whatever you have, that you have TV or a microwave, they hate it. Envious. But most importantly, they can't stand the fact that we are Israel's friend. And they won't stand for it. And in fact, I have a quote from a Hamas chief spokesman. I quote, "The recognition of Israel as a nation is a direct offense to Allah and to all true Muslims of the world. Israel must be destroyed, and so must its America, its parental ally." September 12, 2001. Well, there's a lot going on in the world. If you want to face up to it or not, the fact of the matter is the jihad has been declared worldwide. You may not want to believe it, but it's happened and it's going to come. And if they want to destroy our economy and destroy our standard of living and to send fear into the minds of the people, I'm not a prophet, nor, as Amos, I will say, am I a son of a prophet. But it doesn't take an Einstein to figure out that if they've been practicing for the last 50 years and blowing up people in marketplaces in Israel and other and in London and other places, how about this? How about, say, this summer, they begin with key tourist sites. Not only to send fear into the minds of Americans, but to also put a crimp on our tour income. Disneyland, Florida, Universal Studios, certain places. You say, well, that'll never happen. Yeah, you know what? I didn't see anybody walking around September 10th talking about somebody could fly an airplane into the World Trade Center either. What's the deal? They're dedicated to your destruction. And they're not going to sleep. And on the news tonight, today, when you go home today, turn on your news, you will see the little ticker tape thing running across the bottom of your screen declaring that chief spokesmen of Al-Qaeda have announced today that they have completely regrouped their forces and they are stronger now today than post-9/11 or pre-9/11. Well, we don't know if that's true or not, but we'll soon be finding out if that's true or not. But to attack, say, key summer events, what about this? What about attacking, say, Atlanta, Chicago, New York, L.A., Denver, San Francisco, Seattle? Say, November, just when the Christmas shopping gets underway, where many companies are banking on that time of the year, November and December, to cause their bottom line to perk up a little bit. What do you think will happen if one lunatic, one Al-Qaeda nincompoop, walks into a Nordstrom's in San Francisco and blows himself out up at chief or peak shopping hours? What do you think is going to happen? You're not going to go shopping. That's what's going to happen. The economy is going to suffer. It's going to send fear into the minds of the people. And if you want to stop America from being a key player in the world and from being Israel's supporter, attack it where it trusts has been placed the most. Don't say God. This is a godless nation. And the other God, money. Jesus called it mammon. When America begins to have an economy that begins to suffer, could that be the potential setting stage for Europe to rise in its economy and to promote the euro upward? We don't know. Again, I'm not a prophet. But I tell you, there's some interesting days ahead of us. And all in the light of post-September 11th, there's been talk about security. Security this, security that. We are to be, absolutely, we are being encouraged again today, and we're being encouraged by the President and by Tom Ridge and by Cheney and by others to profile people. Prior to September 11th, profiling was almost illegal. Now you're asked to profile. That's increasing as of today. We need to know people. We need to know who they are. We need to know where they live. We need to know what they believe. We need to know everything about them. Well, where does this begin? Before we go, well, I'm going to save this. This doesn't exactly apply to this, so we'll come back to this one if we have time. I have 20 minutes. Here we go. Bringing you up to date, last week's news. First humans to receive ID chip. Now, I know this is... Oh, excuse me, sorry. Next slide, you guys. Let's skip this part. Oh, that's good. We can come back to that. Now. How about now? Next slide. There. I know it's like impossible for you guys to read, but if I didn't put this stuff up here, you'd say I'm making it up. Los Angeles Times. First humans to receive identification chips. Device implanted under skin will provide identification and medical information. May 9th is the article. 8 people will be injected with silicon chips Friday. That's May 10th last week. Making them scannable, just like a jar of peanut butter in the supermarket store checkout line. It's a safety precaution, explained Nate Isaacson, an 83-year-old construction worker who suffers from Alzheimer's disease. He's prone to wander away from his house not knowing where he lives. They chipped him on Friday. They put a microchip in his right... I don't know if this guy got it in his right arm like the rest of the guys. One guy got it in the back of his neck. Doesn't matter. He's chipped. Say, well, I think it's a good idea. I think it's a great idea. I really do. Especially in light of September, the company who's invented and marketing this information now, they're distributing, or they shall soon distribute, in the meantime, but without chipping, necklaces, polyurethane necklaces with the chip that a fireman can put on when he rushes into a burning building. Or if that building were to explode or to collapse, transmitted from that chip that's around that necklace is blood pressure and heart rate and exact location up to 12 inches of where that man's standing or where that woman is inside that building. For security purposes, for safety issue reasons, in light of September 11th. See, this technology has been catapulted to the forefront years ahead now in advance. Military's had this for over 5 years. I personally met two U.S. Navy SEALs with the microchip embedded in their right hands. I got to shake their hands. I got to talk to them. I got to feel the chip under their skin. Couldn't see it, but you could feel it. And they told me 5 years ago, this transmits to U.S. forces and up in satellite. Our exact location, our blood pressure, our heart rate, everything's there. And so this is old news for military people. The Rangers, U.S. Army Rangers, some of them have it. Navy SEALs. This is old news. I know for a fact, a year and a half ago, over 2,000 U.S. Marines had it, probably many more now. An implantable chip that has identification numbers. Did we not just read in Revelation 13:13 that this man will issue a number, and that number will be in their right hand or on their forehead, and that number will be a number or a prefix, I'll put it that way, of a man, 666. Well, did these Navy SEALs, did the U.S. Army, did the U.S. Marine Corps, are they worshiping the Antichrist because they got the mark, the chip? No. You have to willfully give allegiance to the Antichrist, and you have to willfully accept that number when that time comes. I believe the church will not be here at that time. But isn't it interesting that we're seeing the technology here today? You say, well, I don't see anything here today. Got it right here. This is the chip. I don't know how close these guys can zoom with the camera, but here's the chip. It's exactly the chip that's in the people in Florida today. Let me turn this thing on. Let me show you how good it works. I got kind of fat hands because I'm kind of a fat guy. Anyway, I'm going to put it here. Now, it worked good for first service. Let's hope. You know when you want to show something and it never works right? Okay, through my fat little hand, I'm going to take this scanner. Okay? Yeah, read that. My number is 019266005. Woo! No, I'm kidding. But you see how quick that was? There again, 019-266-005. See, well, what's the thing about that? Well, if you're a dog in L.A. County, you've had this for quite a while. First county in the world to have it in their animals. If you live in Florida and you're an Alzheimer's patient, you're going to be given the option within months to receive the chip. Now, I'm not saying this is the Antichrist chip. I'm just telling you that the technology is here to implement what the Bible said 2,000 years ago would be the deal. All of a sudden, it's not a book that grandma should read. It's a book that all of us should be reading all the time. Interesting news. Concerning that same article that you saw a moment ago, it says here, who decides to get chipped? Mark Rosenberg, executive director of the Electronic Privacy Information Center. Parents will decide if their kids get chipped. And also maybe their aging parents. They'll decide for them to get chipped. It's an easier way to manage someone. It's kind of like putting a leash on them. Interesting, huh? Listen to this. Jeffrey and Leslie Jacobs and their teenage son, Derek, whose chipping will be a national media event, didn't have any problems with dementia like an Alzheimer's patient in Boca Raton, Florida. The family has a mixture of ailments and interests. It says mostly though, regarding Derek, their son, 14-year-old, he's not sick, but a computer buff who considers the procedure tight. Pretty cool. Well, listen to this. The South Florida rollout of the product of the VeriChip will feature soon the use of a chipmobile, a state-of-the-art, medically-equipped mobile unit that will visit elderly care centers, critical care facilities, and any Generation Y events. What? Anybody have any teenagers in here? Raise your hand. You have a Generation Y-er in your house. Generation Y. You know why they're targeting Generation Y? Isn't it weird that this LA Times article would put that in there? You want to know why it's in there? Because it's already been reported that kids think chipping is very tight. It's very cool. Because their parents can't stand the fact that they get tattoos. They're all upset about that. And body piercing, they're furious about that. But when mentioned to their parents they want to get chipped, the parents went furious. And they said, we prefer chipping over the other two because it drives mom and dad nuts. No wonder why this company, Applied Digital Solutions, in conjunction with the Florida State Department of Health, passed FDA scrutiny when they said, you don't have to go through FDA trials or testings for this. It's not a medical device. It's a technology device, even though it's going under the skin. Giving them wide open door to do this. So they're going to go in their little hip, like, you know, Kiss FM Rick D's mobile or K-Wave, you know, van pulls up at a concert. Hey, man, have you seen the chipmobiles here? I'm going to give an idea. You guys who are into entrepreneurship, just remember, you heard it here first. What do you do when kids get a beeper? What do they do with the beeper? They trick out with all kinds of colors, all kinds of lights. Kids get cell phones. They pick up a cell phone, and what? Now the things strobe with lights as they're walking through the mall. Beep, beep, beep. They look like nuts walking around, lighting up. Listen, here's the deal. I predict, you heard it here first, when chipping comes along, within a matter of a year, when it's very, very cool. The chip, by the way, is going to be free. The scanner's going to be about $1,000, but already, there are 10 hospitals in Florida that have the scanners. But listen, they're going to get chipped, and how cool would this be? You got the chip underneath your skin, you can't see anything until someone tracks you. Who knows, maybe phone or beeping information, because you can upload and download information. They're readable, writable. What if your little hand lights up underneath here? How cool that would be. If you're a wire. Ooh, look at this. Okay, listen, you laugh, parents. That's what's wrong with you. You don't get that cool stuff. Little kid walking around, little hand lights up. Hey, look. These are amazing times. And yet, you know, the Bible told us in advance. Protesters against the VeriChip have been minimal. Neither the doctor nor Applied Digital Solutions are eager to see demonstrations. A few religious groups say that the chips are the mark of the beast referred to in the Bible. That's not true. They're probably being misquoted. This chip is not the mark of the beast. The beast will use it. The Antichrist will use it. But it's not the mark itself. By the way, an ABC News poll polled people regarding the willful giving up of their privacy in this area of being chipped, and 70% of Americans polled said it's a great idea in light of September 11th. 70%. Applied Digital Solutions said it already received considerable interest in the VeriChip portion of their project for commercial and governmental sources in Brazil and China and Mexico, and expects the embedded system to be a big answer for those who are under the threat of kidnapping. And by the way, Norway is the first country interviewing with them to have their children after birth implanted with the tracking chip. Tracked, by the way, 219 miles out in space. As previously announced, this is this one is uphold lifted advisory satellite coordinates for live Veritchip press conference and video release on May 10th. As previously announced, the Jacobs family will be the first family in the world to get chipped. The Veritchip's personal identification microsystem, the historic chipping procedure, will take place in the first authorized Veritchip center in Palm Beach County, Florida, followed by a press conference and an invitation to local leaders to attend. This happened last Friday, and it was aired, by the way, worldwide on satellite TV and through NBC and CNN in America. Veritchip. The Veritchip is there when you need it. Is there when you need it. It says here, it can't be lost, stolen, forgotten, or misplaced, says Tech TV. Of course it can't. It's in your right hand. You can't cut your, how are you going to steal your right hand? You can't steal your right hand. You got to cut it off. What happens if somebody doesn't have a right hand? The Bible already has the answer. See, the microchip, this chip, is the one that will go in your right hand. But you don't want to put a chip on your forehead, ladies. You don't want that. No, you want to use the Veritchip version. The Veritchip version is as thin as a piece of paper. If you don't have a right hand, interesting, right hand, not left hand. The Bible says it's got to be in the right hand or the forehead. This thing, the Veritchip version, as thin as a piece of paper, could go on your forehead, wouldn't be detected or seen. They're also, by the way, talking with the National Transportation Safety Board and the Department of Transportation to use the Veritchip version in all check-in baggage. You know when you check in your baggage at the airport, it's got that little barcode receipt on it, that thing that's on your bag? They're talking about replacing that and putting a Veritchip on there so when somebody gets on the airplane, they know exactly who you are and everything about you. It's a great idea to ward off terrorism and unclaimed bags. It's a great idea. But apparently, according to the Bible, we are right in an amazing moment of time when an aberrant world leader could implement such a thing. Certainly the writing's on the wall. Let me continue. There's so much here, and there's just, you guys can go online for yourself and read this. Looking at the Veritchip receives FDA guidance. This one says, commenting on the FDA's notification, Scott R. Silverman, president of Applied Digital Solutions, said, since we've introduced the Veritchip to the world in December, it has received global recognition as a life-enhancing technology. This favorable FDA guidance was a major goal for Applied's new management team and has been accomplished. We can now begin to sell and market the Veritchip throughout the United States. The company, by the way, is a company that has operated for a long time in security areas for military and commercial use. This one is expanded national, international televised coverage of the planned chipping procedure, May 10th, 2000. NBC's top-rated show, Today's Show, will now provide the exclusive live coverage of the Jacobs family interview. Due to the overwhelming media interest, and additional programs and networks have been added. They will be covered on television, including by Inside Edition, Fox News, CBS News, Sat1, German TV, Nick News, Univision, CNN, Tech TV, and Telemundo. Applied Digital Solutions Incorporated, a NASDAQ publicly traded company and advanced technology development company, announced today that in response to the overwhelming media success, it has decided to expand the number of national and international television networks that will carry the chipping of the May 10th, 2002 event. Isn't that amazing? I don't know how that grabs you, but this is exciting stuff. Because here's the deal. If Jesus Christ said, I'm going to come back for you, church, and I'm going to take you out of the world before these things happen. In fact, he says, look up. When you see these things begin to come to pass, look up because your redemption draws near. Okay, now watch. Jesus could have come back 60 years ago. He didn't have to wait. But look how world wars have come about since the 1900s, or the 20th century, I should say. Look what's happened in the last 20 years in technology. Look what's happened in the last 10 years. look what's happening as Daniel told us would happen, that toward the end, knowledge would increase radically. How did Daniel know that 3,000 years ago? Well, the Holy Spirit who wrote the Bible knew it. Well, isn't it amazing that if Jesus says, I'm going to come back and get you before this Antichrist is revealed in this time of specified 7 years that I'm going to deal with the nation of Israel again, I'm going to come back and get the church. Well, watch this. If he says, I'm going to come back and get you before that happens, yet we're seeing things like this available that we can even hold with our own hands now. You can go to the mobile gas station and drive by with your speed pass and get gas. The technology that's there. You can go online and talk to somebody worldwide. You can take an event and broadcast it around the world in real time. Never before known to man. And who would have thought that we could say today with absolute authority that there will very, very soon be a time when you'll have a chip in your hand and you'll be able to be deciphered by an entity or by people. They'll know, as it says in the book of Revelation, you will not be able to buy or sell without the number. What happens if your bank sends you a note and says, we're tired of getting ripped off and robbed through false credit cards and bounced checks? Hey, we're going to take your little technology stuff that you've got now, we're going to put it, because with pressure from the U.S. government and from us regarding crime, we're going to put a microchip in your hand. We'll pay for it. The Bank of America, we're going to pay for it. We'll put the chip in your hand, you'll have free checking, and that's going to save us billions in fraudulent data every year. You don't think they'll do it? I predict they're going to do it. And you'll just go to the store. In fact, I read it this week. I didn't even print it out. This week, they said, with the possibility of this scanner, you won't even have to, in the future, how they scan your individual items at the grocery store. The technology is now here where you take your cart with the barcode and you push your cart through like a, you know, the airport detector where you walk through them. You push your cart through the little archway and it calculates instantly all of the items you have and gives you your total instantly. And all this to quicker get you out of the store faster. And if the inventory is better. That's a great idea. I want one of those. See, it's not a good idea. But it's going to be prostituted by the Antichrist. The amazing thing to me is that the technology is here. It's amazing. It's exciting. I'm going to advance ahead to the last slide that we have just to let you know that it did actually happen if you missed the news. By the way, it happened in about 60 seconds, doctors told us. The Florida family, medical implant data, Boca Raton, Florida, with a painless syringe prick in their arms, the Florida family on Friday became the first recipients of a tiny computer chip implant that stores information. Jeff and Leslie Jacobs, along with their 14-year-old son, Derek, had the chip embedded about the size of a grain of rice, and it took about a minute. And it was done by a hospital there under the supervision. It says, now the chip doesn't require batteries, and its data are used by a scanner that can be internet connected to medical records. And by the way, when you mention internet, then that makes it global. Very interesting. See how small it is? By the way, it's the same one we got here. So small. That's on the LA Times, which is a very interesting thing because the very day, you guys, this is the May 9th Los Angeles Times front page. You know what else was on the front page? Headlines. News all about Bethlehem and news all about Jerusalem. And there's an article. I don't either anymore. Jerusalem would be shared under the new plan, a shared Jerusalem. It says under the man that's going to be running for office against Benjamin Netanyahu, should he choose to run, and Ariel Sharon, this new guy's idea is to give the eastern portion of Jerusalem to the Palestinians and the western portion of Jerusalem to the Jews and divide the city down the middle. Well, that's interesting. When I read that, I opened my Bible to Joel chapter 3. And guess what it says in Joel chapter 3? That they're going to divide up my land in half. And the scripture says this will happen in the last days. And God says that he will judge them who do that. The book of Revelation chapter 11 says that in the last days, there will be a division of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, a wall erected to separate the Jewish side from the Gentile side. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Revelation chapter 11. And it's in the newspapers today. What does this mean to us? It means that we ought to get ready to meet our Lord. Because if He said, I'm going to come and get you, in an hour that you think not, and I'm going to take you, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, if we're starting to see these things come to pass, then how much more closer is He? If He says, I'm going to pick you up in my red sports car before the big yellow bus gets here. And I'm stealing this from Dr. John Wolverine, who gave this to us years ago. That's the best. If Jesus says, I'm going to pick you up in my red sports car before the big yellow bus gets here. That's what Jesus said. He's never lied. He's never broke His promise. And we're waiting on the street corner for a what? A red sports car for Jesus to pick us up. But coming down the street, we see a yellow bus. But it's just a faint yellow bus. But the bus gets closer and we begin to see, yeah, that is a bus. It's a school bus. As it gets closer, still no red little sports car, the yellow bus, we can start to make out the license plates. We can start to make out key features about the bus. We can start to make out in the last 10 years a 7-year peace treaty being discussed, which the Bible says the Antichrist will then introduce to Israel. Hey, peace treaty, peace treaty, peace treaty. And the Oslo Accord peace treaty, 7 years Clinton engineered that thing. 7 years was its duration. 7 years. Hey, now I can see a couple of dents on the yellow bus. I can see the driver now. There's enough being revealed in our day-to-day lives and associated with the Bible that's waking me up to, wow, are we in the last days? How much more do you and I need to see to get us excited about the Lord's return and to be ready? He could come any moment for the church. We're talking about chips in the hand. People being able to decipher where you bank, what your name is, your exact location, and in a futuristic sense, according to the Bible, have you received the prefix of 666? If not, you can't buy or sell. Oh, I'm sorry, you don't have the prefix. You've got to go to your bank and get that. Or just go home to your personal computer and have it downloaded. And then come back and you can buy any product you'd like. No, see, the Bible says nobody can buy or sell without that number. Will we be introduced to the chip if Jesus doesn't come back soon? I believe we will be. In the next 3 to 5 years, 5 to 10 years, very possible. Does it mean if you have the chip, if you are right now a U.S. Military personnel, that your soul is damned? Absolutely not. If you get chipped today, does it mean your soul is damned? Absolutely not. You would have to willfully accept the number of this Antichrist, this system. Know that. But it's possible, and what will you do? That in the next, what if in 7 years, 8 years? Wells Fargo says, if you're going to do business with us, you've got to have a chip. Now, I remember when Christians freaked over credit cards. And when they freaked over magnetic strip on the back of credit cards. I remember when Christians freaked over the chips and the hologram chips inside your credit cards today. But you know what? Things fall into normalcy. Could we be chipped in the future? I have no doubt. If we're here, we will be chipped. But accepting the chip doesn't mean you've accepted the Antichrist. It just means we're one step closer, isn't it? Kind of gives you the jeebies to think about it, huh? But it's all in the Bible. This old book that Grandma told you to read. I love it. Greater is He that is us than He that is in the world. Our God is great. And Jesus says, I've told you these things in advance before they come to pass, that you might know that I am He. Isn't that great? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray this morning as we conclude that if there's anybody hearing right now, anybody listening, Lord, if their life is not safe, if this morning they're sitting here and they're a little agitated by this, they're concerned, a little fearful, Father, I pray that You would just seize their hearts, show them their great need for You, that You and You only are the only one who can forgive them of their sins, that they can meet the eternal God, the Creator of life, and the giver of this word. Father, for the believer this morning, we rejoice. We look at this stuff and we say, Hallelujah. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And it gets us excited. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you are so kind to have told us these things. You're so good. Lord, if you allow us to get back together next Sunday, if you don't come for us this week, we pray, Father, that we would just be able to hear more and more of how this world around us is marching in step with the Bible and how Jesus Christ has done it all for us. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Let's stand as we close in worship.